Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And we had a big week. I had a little bit of issue yesterday, and I recorded a show without you. After Michigan won the national championship. So you're going to get two episodes this week. You probably already heard that if you downloaded the first one. And I try to do them back to back. You can hear all my thoughts on the game leading up to it and how Michigan fought through it. Today, the NCAA president came out and said, basically, that Michigan won the championship fair and square, which makes me think that they're not going to vacate anything, which I didn't think they would anyway. Someone from one of the NFL channels, I told you I was watching a lot of just recaps and listening to them, trying to get ahead of like what people have been hearing. Because if you just listen to the Michigan guys, you're not going to get like the outside opinions on whether Harbaugh is going to go pro or whatever. But they had talked about just with the scandal and everything, kind of like time served. And someone compared it to the Cam Newton scandal. And they were like, Alabama fans are still waiting for Cam Newton to have his national championship revoked. And they said they have a feeling that it's going to be the same for Michigan State and Ohio State fans, where if they don't let it go, they're just going to keep hounding them and they're not going to kind of go anywhere with it. But you can't suspend a guy for six games, make him hire the top assistant in college football, maybe of all time, Connor Stallions. There's a watch on him. He's kind of like the boogeyman now. Did you know that, Matt? People from Michigan State and Ohio State fan bases, they just send pictures of him, like what he's doing. And they were like, they comment things like, I know he's still communicating with the team. Things like that. And I'm like, could you imagine going to bed and just being like, I wonder what this assistant coach is doing right now. So it's insane. But then we also lost Chris Partridge, which I kind of forgot about. And someone had mentioned it about, hey, remember like how you guys didn't have your linebacking coach for the playoffs? And I'm like, oh yeah, he did. Cause he wasn't investigating, or he wasn't cooperating with the investigation. And so they were like, no, you're out. And then Alabama hired Michigan's old linebacker coach. So Michigan's still down a coach from what I understand. I don't think Michigan ever refilled the position. They just had one of, I think Jesse Minter had like his dad fill in, which was nice. Because like, can you imagine you're coaching, getting ready for a college football playoff, and your dad's just a good enough coach that you could just be like, hey, dad, feel like coaching linebackers for a few weeks? Like, come on in. But it worked out. Great coaching. I didn't want to jinx it, so I didn't really talk about the game going in. After Washington beat Texas, I kind of breathed a sigh of relief, because I thought, for the first time in recent Michigan history, even since I was there, since I started, student tickets I think started 2013, it was right after Michigan's March Madness run, where it seemed like basketball, field hockey, whatever, baseball, Michigan would make a run, get to the national championship game, but they were always the Washington, the team that was like not full of blue chip recruits, the underdog. And even though they came close, like they won the first game in baseball, basketball, they were right there. You could just tell that it was kind of like the Cinderella story's coming to an end. And if football is the other way around, Michigan had the recruits, and unfortunately for Washington, they didn't. They didn't have the depth. And Texas could have had it. They didn't. I don't think Texas had the same level of coaching. We'll find out next year, because, well, I guess it depends if Harbaugh comes back or not. But Michigan plays Texas and Washington next year in the regular season. So when Washington won, it wasn't almost like, oh, Michigan's going to get an easy win. It was more or less like history going back. I don't even know if I sent you the list, but history going back, no team without having a greater than 50% chance, like our 50% roster composite of blue chip recruits, has ever won the national championship. Washington didn't have it. They also didn't have a team talent in the top 10. I mean, Michigan didn't either. They were close. And like I said, there's some, the rankings have become a little bit finicky. I didn't like, was it Joel Klatt saying that, oh, Michigan's roster is giving the little guy hope? Because that's not really true. I think he's misleading people because the main three classes, I think, were all top 10 recruiting classes for Michigan. It was like 8, 9, and 10. It was very similar to what Clemson did. And actually, they were built pretty much the same way. Just instead of having an NFL quarterback, I mean, JJ is an NFL quarterback, but he wasn't as good as Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence, right? Michigan just had better running backs. Like when you can go three deep running backs, and two of them run for over 100 yards and two touchdowns, which is a playoff-like record. It's like Zeke Elliott, Derrick Henry, I think, is who the other one was, and then Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards from Monday's game. So having that, the only reason that Michigan's recruiting like average that Fox and Joel Klatt were bringing up is because the last class after the COVID year, people were staying. So it was like ranked 17th just because you couldn't sign basically a full class, you know? And so I thought it was kind of misleading that they would use that as like, see, college football saved. And it's like, no, you still have to have the recruits. Look at the blue chip ratio and stuff. Like Michigan checked all the boxes. I mean, I don't even know if they were one of the lowest. I think Clemson was low. I think Michigan was very similar to the build talent-wise of like 2013 Florida State, I think. So it's funny whenever JJ and Jameis were battling for that best record or whatever. I thought that was funny. But what were your thoughts going into the game?
I mean, going in, I felt like Washington was going to be at a disadvantage because all year they had to win every game in an offensive shootout. And I just felt like with the way Michigan was playing defense all year that they weren't just going to be able to just gunsling it. Their defense was going to have to come up and force McCarthy to make some throws. And, you know, I looked at it like I was expecting this great shootout, and what I got was elephants on parade.
It wasn't even like,
because I was told that it doesn't, if you don't have great quarterback play, that you can't be in the playoffs and you can't win a national championship.
But wasn't who was the guy from Alabama? Greg McElroy, whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Like, he was the one, he did like an Ask Me Anything on Reddit, and people were just tearing him apart because his stats were like awful in the Natty. And people hate the Natty, but I think I have a problem. Blake Corum called it the Natty, and I mean, he just won it, so I have to go with what he's saying, right? But
I don't know. I just the game itself left a sour. Like watching the game with no other ulterior motives, like it was an okay game to watch overall. The thing that aggravated me was all the extra stuff leading up to it, like with the Florida State being snubbed because of their quarterback play. And then to watch JJ McCarthy go 10 of 18 for 140 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. And the running backs run power 50 times a game. I felt like we were cheated, and not saying that Florida State would have beat Michigan in the national championship game, but I felt like it would have been a better matchup because Washington had absolutely no pass rush, and you'll never convince me otherwise that with Jared Verse and Peyton and Fisk and the athletes that Florida State had that would have stuck around had they been in the playoffs and made a run. I think it would have been a more competitive matchup, and for all the hype about Penix, Michigan blitzed him out of the stadium. He couldn't hit a barn with a damn shotgun.
I did feel bad for him because he was basically dead, and I know he didn't want to come out.
I think they probably cracked his ribs.
Well, they 100% did, and that's what annoyed me with the announcers kept saying, "Oh, I think his hips hurt." I'm like, he's clearly playing with his rib pad; like he can't even breathe. I'm surprised he ran Sanders still down. He saved that touchdown on the interception return.
It hurt his draft stock. Like, you can't tell me any team now looks at him and goes, oh, yeah, this is someone that I need to take in the first round and be the face of the franchise. Like, he's a good quarterback. He's an okay quarterback. But, I mean, I felt like he got major league exposed because Michigan just brought all kinds of pressure at him. And he was missing wide open guys. And it's like, NFL coaches are going to see that and be like, hey, guess what? We have a whole platter of blitzes and stuff that if you're struggling in college, you're going to get eaten alive in the pros.
See, I think some of it too, Aduze, that one first one, that fourth down, he stopped and put his hand up like an idiot, you know? And so I think that one, a lot of people were saying that was on Penix, but I think that just kind of started the ball rolling where it's like, hey, I'm open. When it's like, just run your route, dude. You're supposed to be running a corner. And that's why it was a little bit over his head. I saw, I think even one of our favorites, Zach Smith, was calling it out, saying, like, don't be mad at the quarterback on that one. When the receiver gets like, hey, look at me, and doesn't finish the route, that's on him. After that, even Penix said in his post-game interview that he was, like, hearing ghosts. Like, he was hearing people coming in to hit him. And that's a bad thing. That's what Sam Darnold said in the NFL, remember? He was, like, seeing ghosts out there. And he had guys open. DeBoer, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
He put together... I watched a bunch of Washington tape. And that's kind of another reason why I wasn't nervous, because I thought Arizona State helped them. I go back and I see Penix and I'm like, this is the Penix I remember from Indiana. Yeah, he beat Michigan, but that was the 2-4 COVID year where like Michigan coaches weren't even showing up for practice because they were sick. And Don Brown was still there. And I said, I think I talked about it on the show a couple years ago when they got rid of Don Brown, I said, all Michigan needs to do is go to a bend but don't break. And they'll be just like a better Iowa. And Iowa's close enough to being a championship contender as it is with just their defense and no offense at all. Then like, and that's basically how Michigan won. So watching the games leading in, I was surprised at a lot of the media, like 32 out of 48 of the experts for ESPN picked Washington. And a lot of them picked them comfortably. And I didn't realize it at the time, but Michigan never allowed anybody in 15 games over 25 points. The most was 24 by Ohio State and I think Maryland. That hasn't happened since like 1903. Like the defense is just awesome. So even watching the game, it was more frustration of just like, guys, we could be celebrating all night here if we just, you know, put them away. Because people at the game, I went to the alumni watching party and I showed up at 7:30 because I thought, I'm not going to sit around. I'll be too nervous, man, to get in there. It was standing room only. So, of course, the kitchen was backed up. Couldn't order any food or anything. I'm like, that's all right. I'm going to pace around like a jackass anyway. So I stood exactly where I stood for the Bama game. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead and see what happens. I'm talking to fans, you know. And it was kind of just like an uncomfortable, like, just put them away. Guys, do something on offense. Like, they weren't mixing it up. They went back to, we're going to do the Penn State thing, but they weren't just running. It was like, we're going to do some weird pass plays. And the one where it was like fourth down and Roman Wilson ran the out, that linebacker, he read that play so good that if he didn't read that, it would have been wide open. I think JJ called the wrong play anyway, based on what they showed during the game. Him and Sharon Moore were like looking at the play card confused. So, not really any complaints. I just felt like, Washington fans, I tried to like, you know, talk to some before the game, see if they're like nervous, and they weren't. And I was just confused, like, are you guys serious? And they kept saying like, oh, we're better than TCU. TCU beat you guys last year. I'm like, did you watch a game? Because like that, Michigan should have won. They gave that game away. And then it's like, no, we're better. You have never placed an offense like us. I'm like, we play Ohio State every year. And that's why I think Ohio State fans have to be upset. Last year, field goal away from national championship, beating Georgia and probably beating TCU, especially because like I don't think they would have played as bad as Michigan played. And then this year, they probably played Michigan the closest other than Alabama, but Michigan didn't have the mistakes against Ohio State. They played a very clean game, where against Alabama, they made a bunch of mistakes to get it to overtime. So the margin of victory was bigger in the Bama game, but they did go to OT. So if I had a rematch, like if you told me, hey, we have to do one more game, neutral site, the team that I'd be most afraid to play would be Ohio State. I think they were the best, most complete team. And that's why I'm shocked that Ryan Day is doing like a meltdown and getting rid of people, like pushing out Kyle McCord like doing a bunch of other stuff. It's like they not a knock on the kid from Kansas State or whoever they're bringing in, but I watched his film and he was missing a bunch of guys. I think he got benched at one point. And so saying that he's an upgrade over Kyle McCord, I just don't see it. And I'm kind of shocked that they weren't looking at this and saying, it's almost like, I mean, I guess Georgia did push out Justin Fields, right? Before they made their run. So like this feels like the Justin Fields panic at Georgia where they made a bunch of changes and then won two national championships. But
I feel like you have to have the right personnel to make that fit. And with where we are right now with college football, if you don't have that stable, consistent play caller or game manager, then you're royally screwed. And the big thing that I watched with, and I don't want to necessarily blame McCord, but I feel like when I watched Ohio State, for as high of ranked blue chip prospects that they have on their team, they weren't moving the ball as efficiently. It felt very like they had to rely on these like 50-50 type plays where they out athlete, and it's like, what are you doing? Just smash the ball in their face. You're bigger, you're stronger, you're faster. Like, just run it. Just steamroll right through them and push the ball in the end zone. Why are you being cute and throwing these like 70-yard passes into double coverage? Like, what the hell are you doing?
That's where I think Ryan Day might be in his own head, because like he's clearly bothered by Michigan. Like when Michigan called him soft after the Notre Dame game, where he came out in the interview and said like he's not soft. Like, you know, Michigan's in his head, and I'm surprised that they don't like they try to run the ball. And even against Michigan, they had the one drive where they were like, we're going to do what you guys did to us. We're going to push you around and drive the ball. And then the next play or the next drive after getting the touchdown, they were like, we're done with that. We already did it. Like, we're going to go back to Dinkin and Duncan. That's kind of how Washington did. They were like, after the first drive, they kind of panicked, I thought. And they were like, you know what we're only going to do? We're going to run screens, tight end, like fullback screens. Like, they're running the weirdest screens. It's like, are you not giving your ball to any playmakers? Maybe they were just afraid or they weren't getting open. But the one thing I noticed, Michigan tackling was through the roof. I think they only missed one tackle was the first drive, I think, that I could remember that I was like, oh, man, that would have been a three and out.
Yeah.
Even the cornerback, Josh Wallace, credit to Don Brown, since I talked about him earlier, giving us that transfer from UMass. Because him and Will Johnson were pretty much locked down all night. And so I hear a lot of things about Michigan going to have to reload next year. A lot of the defense could come back. A lot of them were sophomores. Kenneth Grant, the Beast, and Mason Graham, the Bama Quinn block, both sophomores. Will Johnson, sophomore. People were saying about how, oh, he kept grabbing. In college, if you're beat, tackle the guy. Like, they're either going to throw a flag or they're not. And people were complaining about the refs. I've seen some crazy conspiracies down here, dude, where people think, mostly NC State fans, they think that UNC got in contact with Michigan and they have a secret backdoor deal where if UNC helped the ACC refs or told the ACC refs to have Michigan win the national championship, then Michigan would give UNC an invite to the Big Ten. What do you think?
Plausible. I mean, I watched the shitty refs all the time for the ACC. So you're telling me about how bad the refs are, and I was just like, that's just what I go through every Saturday.
Like, I knew they were going to be bad. I texted you as soon as I thought, man, the two worst ref groups are the Big Ten and the ACC by far. And it's like, I mean,
they're not just blowing like little calls. It's consistently on plays that are going to change the outcome of the game, they will take it out of the player's hands and 100% make a call that's going to affect the outcome of the game.
I think Washington's touchdown had two Michigan penalties, and then of course they had a play later called back by they did tackle our guy. I don't know how people were like slow-moing and saying like, look, he kind of tripped. It's like the guy did an Olay and threw him down. Like, he was wide open. He was going to kill Penix, and Penix is already injured. And then it wasn't even a catch. He was so scared of that guy that he threw it, 10 yards short? It shouldn't even have been a pass interference. That's the one thing I don't understand, and I think the rules experts need to get back in. If a quarterback is so spooked that he just throws a duck that's 10 yards short, and the receiver has to do a dead stop and the D-back runs him over, it should be ruled uncatchable. There's no way, if Will Johnson was nowhere near that play, like let's say he forgot to go on the field and Adunze had to go back, he never would have caught that ball. There was no chance in hell that he was catching that ball. It never should have been pass interference. What's Will Johnson supposed to do? He doesn't know the quarterback's throwing a duck. He doesn't know he's so scared back there, right? So they should have just waved off the pass interference, and then Michigan could have declined the holding and that should have been it. But instead, had to do another play, and that was the interception to Mikey. I really wanted Mikey to score because he came back. He was one of the ones that came from up in the East from like Don Brown. He was a wide receiver. I think he had 3 offensive touchdowns. And unselfishly, Michigan was like, hey, we need a nickel back. You should come back and play in the defense. Changed the defense, and he's been awesome. And so I thought he should have been player of the game. No offense to Will Johnson. I love Will Johnson. I was texting you guys telling him if Johnson can shut that guy down, which he basically did, he had under 100 yards or whatever, that Michigan was going to win. And, I mean, Michigan gave him a Rutgers, dude. Michigan had more rushing yards than Washington had total yards.
Well, I was curious with the injury to your offensive lineman.
Oh, Zinter? Oh, man, I was so worried about that going into the Bama game. No joke.
I thought that there would be – that would have played more of a factor in both playoff games. And to Michigan's credit, they had the offensive line played well, and I think that may have been a reason why they used more 2 and 3 tight end looks in their playoff games, just to support the line a little bit more and just steamroll – the defenses, because there were several times Washington had no idea where they were supposed to line up and was messing with their run fits.
I think the line change, Michigan had to play 2 transfers, I believe. Henderson, I think, is from Arizona State, and then Hinton is from Stanford, which funnily, they kept talking about recruits being like, oh, Michigan only has 2 5-star recruits. Hinton, I thought he was a 5-star recruit because like his brother went to Michigan and I think he was a 5-star recruit. And I looked at his thing when he was interested in Georgia, he was like 11th overall. It commits to Stanford, dude. He tunneled all the way down to 200. 4-star. I thought, oh, that makes sense. No way. If a guy goes to Stanford over Georgia, there's no way he's a 5-star, right? They never could have left him at that ranking.
And that cracks me up that like those rankings shift as drastic as they are.
And if you think I'm making it up, you can click on his history and see that he was like a top 10 recruit. Because I remember Michigan was going after him hard and everyone was like, oh, it was down between Michigan and Georgia or Stanford. And he's like, I'm going to go to Stanford. And I thought, hey, if he's going to go for the education, can't knock a kid, you know, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, baby, you're going down. Should have picked Georgia or Michigan. In Michigan, you would have probably been a 4-star too, but it wouldn't have been as bad as how far he fell. But I think the injury to Zinter, because he played guard, made them shift the line around, and it became more of a run-blocking line. And I was surprised they didn't make the move earlier in the year, because they shifted the line around, because Michigan does this thing now where everybody plays. So, you can see sometimes when the right line was out there, they're pulverizing people and Blake's running for all 100 yards or whatever. And then the next week it'd be like, we're going to go back to that other line we kind of liked for pass protection. I'm like, we're not even passing the ball. What are we doing? And so when Zinder got hurt, they kind of had to go back to the power run. And I honestly think it helped out. Like nothing on Zinder. He's a great lineman. I think the game plan would have been different. I mean, and the other thing I brought up yesterday was Donovan Edwards. I felt really bad for him, kind of, when Blake Corum came back, because it should have been his time. And he really didn't have a good year. And you could tell that he was getting frustrated because he'd come in and it would be like, run him up the middle. And it's like, that's not his style. And then finally, Washington, it gave me, he did score against Penn State. to help put that game away. But the Washington game reminded me of the Ohio State game a couple, like last year, whenever when Blake was hurt and he had those two long runs, and he had two long runs in the national championship. And I thought, if he goes pro, like, he'll always be remembered for those runs. I think they're going to be in like a montage of Michigan highlights forever. So I felt really happy for him because he came back. I don't know if he could have went pro last year, but he didn't transfer. He didn't complain. A lot of other rosters, you see guys that are like, oh, so-and-so's coming back, I'm out. And now he's a national champion. So credit to him. I think that's the last thing I had. The rest of them, like Washington, man, like I said, nothing on them. DeBoer, great coach. People are saying that if Harbaugh leaves, he could be getting a call to Michigan if they don't go with Sharon Moore. I think the style is a little bit, right now, a little bit too Ryan Day for me. But they did have a power running back that he played hurt, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way too, because I'm like, take him out. He can't run. He was like half a step slow, and every time they have daylight, he was just getting killed. And he's limping, and then Penix was limping. And so that reminded me a little bit of Brady Hoke whenever he was playing. Was it Morris that got the concussion? And so I was like, yeah, kind of weird. But I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington continued to build. You got to be able to build through recruiting. They have to take advantage of this run and recruit to the next level. I shared with you, I was looking through championship gear. One of them had a banner of Michigan win the national championship, and they had our opponents as Georgia and Florida State still. And I thought, did they not realize that neither of them got picked for the playoff? It's like, I was thinking, I should buy that. And then if they send it to me, I'll be like, hey, you guys have the wrong score, because they'll probably let you keep it, right? And then they'll send you an updated one. And then I'd have like a fake championship in like in another dimension. Michigan beat Georgia and then Florida State for the national championship, since you brought it up. I do think the styles, like I said, Michigan's built to beat that style. And the offense, it's college. Like, I looked at the film. I knew Penix wasn't going to be as accurate. Texas was like a once-in-a-lifetime game for him. He didn't look like that in any other game the entire year. You're not going to repeat that on Michigan's defense. You're not. And I don't think he would have repeated that on Florida State's defense. And I texted you during the game. I think the playoff would have held. I don't think they would have put Texas in because of their loss to Oklahoma. But I really think that it should have been Washington versus Florida State. And I think Florida State had a good chance to beat them. And then Michigan, Alabama goes the way it did, and you're left with the Michigan Florida State championship. But I really don't think that they wanted a low scoring championship. And that brings me to the next topic, where Nick Saban retires. I honestly, looking back and seeing the bracket, I think the committee thought that Nick Saban, and they bought into the hype about the signs or whatever, they thought Nick Saban was going to be able to beat Michigan. The rumors were already there that he was retiring this year. So I think they let them in. They were never going to let them out in Saban's last year. And I think they thought, well, they'll be able to beat Michigan because they played the same style of football, basically, just running the ball. You don't even know if either team can throw. And then they'll have another chance at Texas, basically. And he won't lose the rematch, because I kept hearing that. A lot of experts picked Bama on that same thing. Well, Michigan's a joke. They're not for real. And then Texas, they won't lose that rematch. And heck, if Washington beats them, then it'll probably be even easier for Saban. And I think that's why a lot of people changed their tune. Like, even Feinbaum said, like, he was wrong. Epically wrong or whatever he said. I saw, like, a lot of quotes I was reading from people. Some, like, random people. Like, some Florida writer was still doubling down on Michigan being frauds. I'm like, come on, buddy. A Florida Gators guy telling me that? Like, I'm going to listen to that.
Well, they would know.
Losing? The other one is Georgia. I'm going to have to side with the Bama fans on this, like I told you a week ago. Kirby Smart only beat Nick Saban one time. And they kept saying that how Georgia's only lost one game in the past 3 years. They lost two. They lost this year. People are pretending like they didn't lose. The year they beat Bama, they lost to him the first time. And then Alabama had the injury to their top wide receiver, right? That's the only reason Georgia beat him. Otherwise, I don't even know if Georgia ever beats them. Now, last year, they wouldn't have had to play Bama, and they got lucky with the TCU losing, but Georgia should have lost to Ohio State last year. And so, is Georgia good? I don't know, but I would take Michigan over them this year. I said earlier in the year that I was kind of glad that Michigan didn't have to play Georgia, but now, after the season wrapped up, Georgia wasn't touching this Michigan team, and they couldn't even move the ball on Bama's defense. They probably would have scored probably 10 on Michigan.
They barely, that first quarter, they gave me hope against Florida State's second string and walk-ons and everyone else that they had. The final score was a blowout, don't get me wrong. But when you're supposed to be the number one ranked team and you're letting the JV team hang around 7-0 in the first quarter was like, maybe we have a chance to pull the upset of all time off. And then they just ran out of gas and the wheels fell off. But it was like, you can't tell me that you're this powerhouse team. Now, the one thing that I did find funny is they have like clear video stuff from last year's playoff where they're like, yeah, they see Florida State fans. Georgia really didn't take you seriously. They're on the sideline eating chicken wings. It was like, you can clearly see like the 2023 on their uniforms, and they're wearing their home ones for the playoffs. They wore their whites versus Florida State. So it was like, this isn't even the right year, asshat.
See, that's where I'm kind of disappointed the way all the opt-outs have gone. And I'm not just singling out Florida State because I think it also hurt the Big Ten with Penn State and Ohio State, because the Big Ten, even against the spread, I think was 7-3. Overall, they were 6-4 in bowl games, had the best record, could have been even better. But because of the opt-outs and the like perception of just getting killed in their bowl games, Ohio State fell all the way to 10th. Penn State fell all the way to 13th. Behind like LSU and Arizona, which probably isn't true. And so it's like, come on. Wait, what are you doing? Like, you're spending your entire year complaining about Michigan, and then you guys look like a bunch of crap teams. What are you doing? I don't understand it. You can't say, oh, Michigan didn't deserve to be there. Michigan has beaten you guys. Like, Penn State, you're getting run on. Ohio State, you're broken. They didn't even, like, respect you. They didn't do like really any trick plays against Ohio State. They saved everything for Bama this year, and it has to be in their head. But then don't complain about it and say, oh, they're cheating and doing all this other stuff because you lost. It's not the reason is that they have the signs. They're running all over you. Hassan Haskins, 5 touchdowns. Donovan Edwards, 200 yards or whatever last year. This year, they just ground them down. So last year, I think the most overlooked thing was Blake Corum, was injured, and I felt bad. He probably should have won the Heisman last year. It was insane that they didn't even send him this year. He's the leading scorer in college football. I think he ended the season as the leading scorer because he had 2 more touchdowns. Ahead of any kicker, usually it's like a kicker. He's the leading scorer. How they didn't even invite him to New York is just insane. I know Michigan cut the yards down or whatever, but if the guy's able to find the end zone, and he's the entire team moving the ball, scoring in overtime against Bama. They gave him the offensive MVP. I thought it could have been Donovan Edwards, but I think that was more along the lines of, here it is. Here's your career award, national championship MVP. And I thought, well deserved. But I saw a lot of articles. The reason I brought it up, I had it noted down. People were giving Penix the Heisman. The media was saying, maybe we should petition to change the Heisman vote until after the playoffs now, because Penix probably deserves it. It's like, no one even mentions Blake. No one mentions him at all. They just like, oh, Michigan, they're going to lose. And I didn't buy into it. Like Harbaugh said, and one of his pressers, I think that really pissed him off. He's like, you can tell these people don't know football or whatever. And you're right. You can win with a big running game. Like I mentioned, Nick Saban's gone. Now we're going to see a changing of the guard, because if he's gone and Kirby Smart stays, there's rumors that he could go to the Atlanta Falcons, and the Atlanta Falcons owner really wants him is the rumor. He's there. Dabo's still at Clemson. as of now, Alabama, he's a former player for Alabama. Does he take that job? Or has the luster kind of worn off him and he stays where he is? Because then you have Clemson and Georgia. I think those are the teams that have two championships each. Then you have Harbaugh. What other active coaches have national championships, Matt? Do you know? Because Urban's gone unless he comes back. I think that might be it, right?
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll could come back. I mean, they forced him into retirement. He said that he's fired up about it. I don't know what that means. They're like, you're not going to be the coach anymore. You're going to be in the front office. I feel like he might be kind of like when Chris Peterson left and we were like, oh, he's going to get another job. Something weird happened at Washington and he's been like the advisor now. Maybe Pete Carroll just wants to, I mean, he is kind of old. Maybe he is like, he just wants to be the front office guy like Bob Stoops or whatever. But that's what crazy. That was another trend that broke too. Dabo was the only coach before Harbaugh that had won a championship this late into his term with the team. Everyone else, you had to win it within the first 3 years. That's why I thought maybe Washington has, maybe they do have an exotic offense that changes every week and he's going to get it done. But
the one thing that you're leaving out of that is Dabo built and won his championships with the old system where he was able to funnel his, I guess you would say it now, NIL money to the kids to recruit and have them on campus and have them there for 4 years and develop them in-house.
Yeah.
And I feel like now that that's changed where Norvell's able to pull guys from the portal to address needs and Deion Sanders completely flips Colorado to try to address needs. Like there's teams that are using the portal to their advantage. Ole Miss, Kiffin does a great job of finding talent that he needs to fill out his roster. Like to use the portal to your advantage, I think helps cover some of the potential losses that you get through your recruiting. And I think when I saw the recruiting stats at Clemson, it kind of triggered some PTSD of Jimbo Fisher leaving in the middle of the night to go to A&M, where like it was speculated that he was asleep at the wheel at the end of Florida State, knowing his time at Florida State, knowing that he was going to take the A&M job, that he was being recruited by some of those other programs. And I thought, well, is this the same thing where Dabo's like, yeah, I'm not really embracing the portal right now and doing all this stuff. And then he'll just go in with a fresh slate at Bama where he's going to have to embrace it as part of that program. And he's going to have way more money to his disposal to potentially pay for recruits.
That's where I'm not sure with a lot of these other programs too, like long term. Some people are saying like maybe Alabama will get Dan Lanning. And I'm thinking, what has he done? Oregon's kind of like a program that just gives the NIL for like a decade or two to get the top recruits on campus. And the coaching doesn't really matter, right? And I know they're coming to the Big Ten. I'll give them a shout out. Thanks for beating Liberty. Otherwise, we could have had another undefeated team. The NCAA thought there was going to be another undefeated team because they had an article queued up. I saw that Automatic posted and it said, these teams finished undefeated this year. And then it just had two sentences. It was like the Michigan Wolverines were the only team that finished undefeated. They won the national championship. I was like, they had an article for that. Oh, did they think Florida State was going to beat Georgia or did they think Liberty was going to beat Oregon? Like, because otherwise that article makes no sense. They could have just put that as a one-liner in the championship post.
Well, I did think Liberty stood a chance against Oregon just because with Jamie Chadwell's offensive system and that the option style that he ran, I thought that if Oregon didn't come out disciplined, that they would have a chance to upset him, almost like the famous interview where Saban was talking about how Georgia Southern was running all over their defense. It was like we couldn't defend it, we couldn't prepare for it. It was like I thought maybe there was a possibility with some of the players potentially opting out and things like that, that they would have an opportunity to catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised with that, that they had Oregon. I know I sent it to you. I don't know if you caught it, but Florida State actually tied them for sixth. And I'm like, why?
Stupid.
What did Oregon do? They kept saying, I saw a lot of people post this in like the previews to the thing where they were like, we think Oregon's the number two team in the country. We can't wait till Washington crushes Michigan. And like the one guy picked Washington to win 60 something to 14. And I'm like, You clearly have never watched Michigan play, because if you think they're giving up 60 points or whatever, and it's not like a weird shootout like last year, you're insane, because the offense can score. They just don't. That's not Harbaugh style. So it's like, it's weird that people are like, think that Oregon's this top team when they've never won anything. They've never won. They get to the national championship and Ohio State outclasses them. They get to whatever, I guess the championship the year before or whatever, a couple years before with Auburn. Auburn beats them. They had the chance in that one if they could have put them away. Since then, who are they beating, like Washington or Wisconsin? Like, I think they're every time they get Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, they lose to them, I think. They did beat Ohio State at home the one regular season year. But other than that, like, they're not really winning anything. They're not even winning the conference. They only made the playoffs once, right? Washington made it twice. So I don't understand the infatuation with them either. It's like, all right, well, we have this great marketing group, weird jerseys, weird stadium, weird basketball court, way, way more complex than what it needs to be in design.
But I just think like they're punching above their weight because they have all this extra financing from Nike that I think helps it keeps them a little bit higher of a level than the competition that they were facing in the Pac-12. So they were able to pull, like, and it's weird when you watch those Pac-12 games because they're a team that will win really lopsided versus Cal and Stanford. And, like, they'll win a 63-10 game and, like, absolutely look like they're blowing the doors off people. But then they'll play, like, at the time 0-7 or 1-7 Arizona State, and then it's like, here's a 3-0 field goal game, like, for no reason.
That's how the Washington schedule was. They're like playing close with Stanford, and Stanford's awful. And I told you a couple years ago that was Michigan, it's like doing all these squeakers. The last couple years, Michigan's been killing. I mean, Maryland was the only one that people could say was like not up to snuff that played Michigan close, but then they killed Auburn in the bowl game. So it's like maybe Maryland's not really that bad. So the other like Pac-12, I was hoping, I joked around it being a Big Ten national championship game. A lot of the media was like putting a hard line in there, like, no, this counts for the Pac-12 when Washington wins, this is the last Pac-12. They get to go out with the championship. And every time I was reading it, I'm like, are these guys just copying and pasting the same bullshit? I hope Michigan kills them. And that's what happened.
Well, I just thought like both schools would be like, oh yeah, this is our national champion team. Like they'd both just be making graphics about them.
Because like the Big Ten, people were like complaining that the Big Ten didn't set out a congrats. If you go to the Big Ten site, it's like, hey, Michigan won. Do you want to buy some gear? It's like, they're just asking you for money. They're like not actually happy that Michigan won. They're just begrudgingly saying like, all right, see if we can sell some shirts. Like, whatever. The TV ratings, though, are huge for Michigan. Michigan was in the top three most rated games of the year, which is funny because Michigan-Ohio State beat the Texas-Washington playoff game. For all the stuff that you hear about, oh, Texas this, Texas that, can't wait till they're in the SEC, the Texas brand going to bring in a ton of viewers. Like, nah, Michigan beat you fools. All three games. Michigan-Bama was a top-rated game. Then Michigan-Washington, which probably has to do with the weird Monday night timing, right? I think that one had 25 million. The Bama-Michigan one, the Rose Bowl, had like 27, which was, I think, the highest since the first year they did it, when it was Ohio State-Oregon. And then Michigan, Ohio State had 19 million. The Washington, Texas game was, I think, the fourth most watched game, and it had like 17 or something. Like, it was below whatever the regular season Michigan, Ohio State game is. And that's what I kept telling people, because there I see Georgia fans out and about saying like, oh, yeah, Michigan would have stomped. It's like, you lost to Bama, and they lost to both playoff teams. I'm surprised that they put Georgia over Bama in the final AP poll. Because I thought it should have just been Michigan, Washington, Texas, Bama, then Georgia, Florida State, and then Oregon or whatever other teams you want to put back there. But like, Florida State should have been up there. I get if you want to put Georgia ahead of them. The opt-outs, Florida State should be more mad about that, I think, the way that it went down. Because not playing them close, if you play Georgia close with the opt-outs, you're probably ranked fifth in the top five. Now you don't even have a top five season to kind of brag about.
Ooh, that extra place.
That's a big thing. You know, the media, the one
stupid thing. It means absolutely nothing. You know who's going to remember that we're in sixth or fifth place in 10 years? Nobody.
Yeah, that you will whenever they put a thing out. Like Michigan finishing in the top five three
times.
And
then I could just say asterisk.
Nah,
with a horse.
The president already came out and he bowed down to Harbaugh. Because Harbaugh in the post game, he said, we didn't care about that because we know we're innocent. Like, how many other coaches would have beat around the bush? But because Harbaugh called him out on it, the NCAA, what are they going to say? Like, no, we have more evidence. Because remember last time Harbaugh called him out, they posted their supposed evidence, which is basically nothing. The guy just said, no, there's more to it than cheeseburgers, buddy. And it's like, okay, what is it? And they're like, you'll find out. And then they sent the letter and it's just cheeseburgers. It's still the same thing.
I just love that they have all these like pictures and images and video of stallions on the Central Michigan website. And they're just like nobody even asked a question about it. It's like, why is a coach from one school coaching at another school on the sidelines hanging out? They're just like, don't worry about that.
That's why I think they know that it was a one man thing. And I think, I mean, the most plausible thing is what Central Michigan hired him, right? He had to have been doing like an outside consulting thing. That's the only thing that makes sense. Otherwise, why would he be on the sideline? How would they let him on there and give him the official coaching gear? Right? It doesn't make any other sense. But I'm surprised that people aren't putting it together or even asking the question. Like, it kind of just went away. And so now you just have memes of him there. And then there people were finding him. The Rose Bowl did like the 360 camera thing. I don't know if you saw it. And it's like super high def. I don't know if they had someone right around. But you can like find yourself and tag it in like this big group photo. And everyone was just tagging Connor Stallions, dude. And because he was up there with like some of the former Michigan players. And then a lot of the NFL players were calling Stallions out, like retweeting his tweet with like he had a tweet of like the national championship Michigan hat, just the hat. And all the fans were like, you coward, show your face. And I'm like, why? Everyone's posted pictures of the guy. He's like, I'm telling you, he's the boogeyman. People are going to be at the game. If everyone just started randomly showing up like a Where's Waldo, you just had a Connor Stallions outfit and you're just like filming the game, I guarantee someone would get just beat the crap out of, right? If I showed up and pretended to be him. At a Ohio State like Western Toledo game or something like that, and they'd be like, "There's the Connor Stallions, get him!" Like they're gonna be looking for him, and I just don't understand it. So the funniest thing would have been is if like Nick Saban would have hired Connor Stallions, because then they wouldn't have said anything. But did you see the Alabama coach quote after the Rose Bowl? He said. They asked, they were like, do you think the signs was a disadvantage? And he said, no. And the guy was like, what? And he said, every team does it. He's like, the only team that I know that doesn't do it is Vanderbilt. And they're terrible. He's just called Vanderbilt off. So I'm like, oh my gosh. Throwing strays to Vanderbilt randomly. But
speaking of Vanderbilt, there is that former Vanderbilt coach that might be interested in Alabama.
My buddy lives in Tuscaloosa now. He texted me immediately. He was like, hey, who do you think Alabama's going to get? They're going to get Nick Saban. I'm like, they're going to get James Franklin, buddy. James Primo Franklin. If only he had Milroe as a QB, he's like a better Sean Clifford. Can you imagine?
But he won't have him there for 35 years to own his offense.
You might have him there. They might have him there that long because they're saying that he's not NFL quality. Could you imagine he's running a Penn State offense of jump balls and quarterback runs, dude? And if James Franklin went to Bama and won a national championship, Penn State fans would probably burn their erector set down. They'd be like, why isn't the stadium melting? That's what would be happening. Because it would be insane. So I'm actually kind of pulling for that, even though they probably will go with like Dan Lanning or something. Well, maybe they'll get Norvell. How would you feel?
You just shut up.
So you need a coach. Like Harbaugh said that if he died and someone said, and his eulogy just said, he was a Michigan man, then Harbaugh knew that he lived a good life, dude. Norvell needs to say something like that.
I feel like with what Norvell walked into Florida State with and what he's built right now, I would be surprised if he left. But I'm also not an idiot to think that he couldn't be lured away. But I feel like there's unfinished business right now. And with the way that it appears that he's going through recruiting right now, that I think Florida State's going to be a team on a mission next year to really prove that they weren't the snub was real.
See, that's where I'm leaning probably 70% that Harbaugh will be back. And I'm basing that off of his comments after the game and some of the previous comments he made about not wanting to coach against his brother because he didn't like that. And the only job openings are like the AFC. So he's not going to want to coach like the Steelers or something where he's playing his brother all the time because he wants to be best friends with him, you know? So I think the NFC, the only job would have been the Bears. I kind of wonder if the Bears reached out. Harbaugh declined like in the back channels, and that's why they retained their coach. Because it kind of makes sense because like up until a week ago, we've seen pictures of Harbaugh dressed in the Bears outfits. And everything. Harbaugh wins a championship. JJ came back. I watched the guys get back to Ann Arbor. They posted a video and all the students were chanting one more year. And JJ said something like, I don't know how I could leave this. So if he comes back and Harbaugh's like, if JJ's running it back, I'll come back or I'll stay here, you know. And I almost wonder if that kind of forced the Bears' decision. Because, like, knowing Harbaugh, and I've been following him for over like a decade at this point now from his time at Stanford, then with the 49ers. It's like everyone keeps saying like he's going to wear out his welcome. It's like, no, the only time that ever came up was when the 49ers owner was throwing a big fit. And that's why no one really likes to work with the 49ers owner. So it's like it's weird that they can put together a great team, but they still can't get it done because of like internal crap going on there. So, like, I don't think that was related to Harbaugh at all. And I don't think he wants to go to the Carolina Panthers when their owner's throwing beers on people in the box. And I don't think he's going to go and say, you know what? I do want to go back to that dysfunction, right? The president of Michigan's 100% behind him. He's already told him that he's wanted. Harbaugh wanted to see the fans behind him. I think that's happened with the Michigan versus everybody gear and everything. And everything that happened, the Harbaugh chants. So, it just comes back. The defense is going to be solid next year, no matter what, new coach or not. Michigan loses a lot of offensive pieces, depending on who comes back. I think Roman Wilson and Barnard, the tight end, both declared for the Senior Bowl. I know that they could always pull out. One of the defensive, Braden McGregor, he declared for the Senior Bowl, so that's three. I think there was like a bunch more, maybe, that could declare. So we'll have to kind of see. We'll be checking back in. But that's going to be another key thing. Bama with Saban leaving, they've already had some recruits decommit. And one of the transfer commits that they had, I think it was Damani Jackson. He was Will Johnson's best friend, like one of his best friends. And Johnson's been trying to get him to come to Michigan. So he was at USC. He wanted to stay close to home. Just watched him win a national championship and basically drive his draft stock through the roof. shutting down Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Adunze. So what if Michigan can get him to transfer in? Then they just like, Harbaugh is like, you know what? We're just going to run the ball. We got Mullins if Donovan Edwards comes back. But it really comes down to what happens with the rest of those Bama guys. Because if they can't bring in a coach that can keep recruiting, I think there's going to be a shift. I mean,
they can just shift right on over to Florida State.
I thought you were going to say to Brian Kelly at LSU, buddy. Baby. Brian Kelly, I have to give him a shout out. He said he would really be interested in the Michigan job. It's a great job, and I like hearing coaches say that, so I have to give him a little bit of credibility, Matt. I know he was a Notre Dame coach, didn't really beat us when he was there, so.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see whenever he marches back up and tries to use his Midwestern accent on you.
He just shows up. He's like, ah, that's not gumbo, guys. So that's what I actually, because now it's like a hot job. The board's interested in the Michigan job, supposedly. Brian Kelly's interested. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden, everyone was saying Michigan could never win a national championship. And now that it's happening, people are like, that's a great place to work. I'd love to be there. Harbaugh loves it. He sits at the big kid table now. Did you hear that interview? He said that finally he gets invited to eat at the big kid table because his dad won the national championship and his brother had the Super Bowl ring. And they must have had a separate table in his house where he had to sit at family dinners. Could you imagine being that at the football? Where it's like, sorry, son, you're not here yet. One day. anything else you want to talk about for college?
No.
You could talk more about Florida State if you would like. I think that I want them to come to the Big Ten selfishly, because I see the ESPN negative recruit, or not even negative recruiting, but just the negativity in reporting about Michigan the entire time, and how Pete Thamel is just, what, him and Ryan Day are hanging out all the time. I don't understand how he breaks every Ohio State story immediately. They have to be buds. So they have to be the ones feeding the information about Michigan and the signs to him was probably Ryan Day. And so just seeing it fall apart and then seeing the Michigan TV ratings, I was really happy, because now they can just tell the Big Ten, like, do you want us here or not? Maybe the ACC thing was, hey, we'll help you win a natty and come to the ACC. We'll have our own conference. Or maybe they're secretly working on their own conference anyway. UNC, Florida State coming together. With Nick Saban leaving, though, I wonder how that changes their approach to other programs like Clemson. Because I still don't think they want to include Clemson, though, because you don't want another. And I know Clemson fans, they were really hating on Michigan for whatever reason. Probably because they know they're not a blue blood. And so, like, if Michigan starts winning and Washington starts winning and Oregon coming to the Big Ten has more money than them, Clemson's going to go back to being like an 8-9 win program. So the SEC doesn't want another 8-9 win program.
But I think that's the trajectory they're on right now, because they're pigeonholing themselves without using the portal, without using transfers, without using NIL. They're just saying, these are the guys that we're taking, and we're going to develop them. And then if they leave, then we're going to publicly scorn them.
Because looking back through, what did they have? 81, 78, that's the double win, all the way back to 48. So that's three. And I kind of went out of order wherever it loaded. 87, 88, 990. That was about their biggest run. So they've had maybe 10 double win seasons at the most before Dabo got there. And their history. And I know they didn't play as many games back then, but you're still in the ACC before Florida State got there. Why are you not winning 10 games? So, don't tell me that your program is better than Michigan based on the recency thing. That's why I was glad Michigan won undisputed. And because for the longest time, it was always like they're splitting their titles. And I think that's just projection now, because I want to do a thing for the show here. Something came to me recently. I was looking through the national championship list, and I noticed my boy Kirk Ferentz in Iowa have just randomly claimed 5 national championships. they're an historic program now, the same as Nebraska, the same as Miami. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Because I remember I was a big Iowa fan growing up. They had no national championships claimed. And I've been telling you for years, they should just claim them. Secretly, I think we talked about a few years ago, they claimed the one. The one that LSU was like undefeated and Iowa had one loss. But a selector picked them. And I thought that I thought they would have claimed the Niall Kinnick year, right? Because I think they might have been undefeated that year. He won the Heisman. Lo and behold, they finally did claim that one and a few other ones that are very sketchy. So Wikipedia changed their entire list around. They got rid of the NCAA record book list. And the entire reason I found this out is because during the run to the national championship, Fox kept saying that Michigan had 9 national championships, which is the weirdest number I've ever seen ever. Because Michigan claims 11, now 12, which is the second most behind Alabama that claims 18. Nick Saban is the difference. If they didn't win those 6, it would be Michigan and Bama tied for the lead right now. But Fox had 9 for some odd reason. I noticed like ESPN sometimes when they try to downplay the Big Ten, they will only include the AP ones, right? But when they do that, they have to include Michigan because 97. So then it starts to mess with them. So they can't do like the coaching poll. And so as I was scrolling down the list, I noticed that Woody Hayes, the great Woody Hayes, almost all of his national championships are disputed, Matt. Shared coaches, some other random pool thing that I've never even heard of. And Ohio State doesn't even really claim them. So all the projection I'm getting about Ohio State fans about how Michigan hasn't won natties since World War II, they must be feeling that about their own program. Because in my lifetime, both Michigan and Ohio State now have 2 national championships. So to me, that's the number. I don't care about the other ones. I mean, Bo Schembechler could claim 3, the same way Woody Hayes claims his. Does Michigan? I think they should just start claiming. So I think for our show, I'm going to try to get the NCAA record book into a Southbound Sports webpage where people can actually view it that's not a PDF. Because I think the issue right now is the NCAA record book is a PDF that they upload every year. I just went back before the show and I checked it. The numbers still pretty much match up with what I remember. Like Harbaugh could have claimed a natty when he was a player at Michigan in 85. They don't. They could, though. It's in the record book. UCF, still in the record book, 2017. A couple other split championships. Actually, I think in the record book, out of Nick Saban's 6 national championships, 3 of them could be split. They could also add another split championship from one of the years they lost to Clemson. So I'm proposing, and I'm hoping that we can maybe get some hype up for the show this way, that the playoff should be the cutoff. That's the first time where you had multiple conferences have a chance to win a national championship. I think that should be kind of like the national championship going forward. You know how like the NFL has like the Super Bowl championships? But then the team can still claim their past championships. So like when you watch a Packers or a Lions game, they'll say like, the 10-time world champions, you know? I think they should just call them like world champions or something.
But so, I think it's interesting that you bring up starting to segue into the NFL a little bit, because as the NFL playoffs started to release their matchups, I noticed they weren't putting in about how there were certain teams that didn't deserve to be in, or that like there were things that actually mattered. Like if you win your game, you make the playoffs. If you lose your game, you don't make the playoffs. And there wasn't a scenario where you're like, well, Steelers don't have a consistent quarterback, so even though the Titans lost their game, or the Jags lost their game, we're not gonna let them make the playoffs. Like the games actually matter, which is why the NFL has a better product, because you can contest over which people are going to be the better matchups and who's going to bring in more TV ratings. But at the end of the day, is if you just allow the best teams based off of, I don't know, something crazy like maybe who won during the regular season. Were you able to win your conference or your division? If you can do that, then it makes sense for you to make the playoffs. Otherwise, we're going to shit in one hand and wish in the other going into next year, and we're going to have the exact same problems over again. Because they're going to say, oh, got to have we got to have 8 teams from the Big Ten in. We got to have another 5 or 6 from the Big Ten in. And it's going to be overinflated because of how the rankings go in the beginning of the year. So you'll have a handful of teams from a conference that has no business needing to be in there.
See, that's where I think we can do the cutoff. Because right now, even in the playoff era, there's only been 5 undefeated champions. Clemson, LSU, Bama once, Georgia once, and Michigan. Anything BCS, I would try to include. But I think the BCS had too many years where, 2-loss LSU is in. When, why did they get in over West Virginia? Or like, hey, here's an undefeated Auburn that's left out. So I think that should be grouped in with past champions. And I'm not even cutting out LSU. I think, or not LSU, UCF. I think they should be able to claim a world championship for their 2017 one. Even though the playoffs were still there, it hasn't expanded yet. And then I think what we're going to see over time is with the 12-team playoff, schools are going to start counting Final Fours as wins. Schools like Washington that maybe not be recruiting as well, right? They're not going to claim a runner-up because no one really does that in basketball either. They want to just claim that they were regional champions. So they'll claim, hey, we won the Final Four. Yeah, we were in there, you know? So that's where I think the 12-team playoff is going to kind of get sort of like, instead of claiming a conference championship, you're going to see Michigan claim like, oh, yeah, we were in the Final Four 3 years in a row with the national championship the last year, 2023. And then I think that's going to help recruiting because then you're able to point to, hey, it was only a 4-team playoff, but that's how basketball does back there. They started with only a 4-team playoff, I think, for college basketball because there was a year where like NC State or Maryland or someone was left out, 2 teams from the ACC. And I think that that's going to be a good cutoff point. So I'm going to do some research. I'm going to go through the book. I think the PDF is kind of there. I'm going to try to put it up on our website as I'm redoing it this offseason and kind of get a grip of like how many are actually in here. Because I used to have it on Wikipedia. For whatever reason, people have really been fighting over the championships lately. And Wikipedia should not be a place where random fans can go in, add and delete national championship claims for teams because they don't like it. So we'll just copy whatever's in the record book, and maybe we'll do some like some YouTube clips and stuff to help spread the word to get it out there that we have the actual one in a browsable format. And maybe you can kind of like see, hey, here's so-and-so, the selector. How many teams do they have? We'll see if we can add like filters and stuff to it. But that's my last college football thing I wanted to bring up because I'm going to circle back around in a couple weeks because I've been doing a deep dive. But I think it can work out in terms of like how the NFL has NFL championships that a lot of teams claim, like the Browns, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl, doesn't really negatively hurt them. So like teams that are like Miami, they haven't won a playoff championship, right? So, but who cares? Because everyone knows that they had won 5 in the past or whatever. So they might come back at one time. They might not. But now there's a 12-team playoff. So if they want to claim a playoff championship, win in the playoffs. It's been around for, a decade now? Almost, if it hasn't. I don't know if Michigan was like the 9th or 10th team to be in there. I think that was the 20th team that had made it to the championship game. Different team, or at least in the playoffs or something like that, they said. I think Washington was the 20th team. I don't remember if that was the actual... Well, no, they had already been in the playoffs, so it must have been the national championship game. So 20 different teams have had a chance to win it in like 10 years or whatever it was. So, I don't know, but we'll circle back around. I want to hit on NFL real quick before we go. The Packers sneak into playoffs. I'm excited about that. That's kind of how I knew Michigan was going to win. I win I win fantasy football. Packers win, and then I get the trifecta, Michigan national championship. And the Packers getting in, they play Dallas. I'm not high on Dallas. I don't even know what to think of them. They're so hot and cold that I'm not sure, but based on the playoffs right now, we'll go NFC first, Matt. Who do you think's coming out of the NFC?
Baker Mayfield and the Bucks.
You don't think it's going to be the Niners?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking we're going to have,
I could see it end up being Detroit.
Well, see, that's kind of what I'm thinking. And maybe it's just because I'm riding high on the Michigan win. But I was thinking to myself, what if the Packers pulled off the upset against Dallas? That's like the one team that I think indoors against Detroit could really run them out. Then the Packers would play the 49ers. And Packers have played them close in the past. If they can knock the 49ers out and Detroit can beat the Bucks, Eagles and Rams or whatever haven't looked good, so they get past them, I think Detroit has the upper hand over the Packers. I think Detroit would be in the Super Bowl. I was high on the Eagles. I think they're done. Something happened in their locker room. People are calling it AJ Brown. It looks like it's gone. So I don't want to say that it could be a sure thing because, like, watch them lose to the Rams. But I think Detroit, the way it depends on the upsets. The Packers have to win. I know Detroit fans probably don't want to hear that. But the Packers at least knock out the Cowboys to kind of help reset the seeding a little bit. I think that would kind of help out because you don't want Detroit to have to play a tougher team in the second round being the lower high seed, you know?
Yeah.
But that's I was thinking Detroit. I would say maybe the 49ers, but I'm still not sold on their coaching and stuff either. Sometimes they make some weird moves where the team just doesn't show up. And it's like, who am I watching? So, the AFC. Steelers get in, playing the Bills. Dolphins get the Chiefs. And then the Texans and the Browns before the Ravens have the top seed. Who do you have in the AFC?
Buffalo.
I'll be honest, man. I think the Ravens, I watched Michigan's defense. The Ravens are on the same system. I could see the Ravens winning it. I could also see the Browns getting hot with Flacco. And I would love it if Joe Flacco pulled it out. I know the Steelers fans would probably hate me right now picking the two rivals for their team to go all the way. The Dolphins, I don't know what happened to them. The Chiefs kind of fell apart. I kind of want the Chiefs to just be eliminated at this point because I'm tired of them and I want different teams in. I know the Browns with Baker were, what, runners-up in the AFC a couple years ago. But the Ravens haven't been deep in forever. The Browns, like, if it ended up being like a Browns-Ravens AFC championship, I think that'd be the funniest thing I've ever seen. They would have more bad blood because the Steelers right now are really annoying me. And this is the last thing I have because they're playing the Bills and their offense and their stuff is a mess. And their fans are just pushing this quarterback controversy for whatever reason. On one hand, you have everyone pushing Pickett. Pickett's the guy. We have to go with Pickett. Blah, 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 right? And then, on the other hand, Mason Rudolph. Oh, he's a savior. He's the guy. We've seen Mason Rudolph. He's not the guy.
Or maybe he is the guy now that he has functioning receivers.
No, Matt. My man Tebow, they never gave him the chance to be the guy, even after he beat the Steelers in the playoffs. Rudolph's not going to get that chance either. I'm putting it down right now for you. No. Stop. You already picked the Bills, so what are you trying to defend the Steelers for?
I can still talk about multiple teams. It's okay.
But you're not confident in their quarterback situation either.
Oh, God, no.
I don't even know if I trust the Bills. That's why I can't pick them. I'm surprised you're picking them. They had their little downfall, and they think they're back. It has been snowing up there, right?
It has been snowing.
And Steelers have no run game, so that's bad.
And I think just the way Buffalo's been playing the last couple weeks, like, it seems like they're playing more cohesively than I think. For as hard as people were riding on Allen about you can't throw any more interceptions, like, they're pulling games out.
That's fair. I also want to see how CJ Stroud does. No hard feelings to him. I hope he does well. My man Nico Collins is out there. I think he deserves it too. But I just think the Browns, with Cooper, his heel has healed, and he's back. and he tore them up last time. Helped me win fantasy. And I kind of like my fantasy guys doing well. So I know he got hurt and he didn't play that last round. But of all my guys, I had him back-to-back years. I hope he can finally get his championship because I don't think he has it, right? Where was he before? I don't think he's always been with the Browns. But maybe I'm wrong. But I will say, I want him to do well. I don't think a lot of my other guys even made the playoffs. Well, I guess Kittle for the Niners. Who else did I even have? A bunch of bums. I called my guys losers halfway through the year. Remember that? Ever since I called them losers, they came together and put it together. But like Eckler, he's out. Oh, I have Ford too. I picked Ford up after Eckler started to get injured at the beginning of the year. And then Breece Hall, he's out. So if it's not the Packers or the Steelers, I've been in this weird funk where I'm cheering for my fantasy guys. Is that weird?
No, that's why I overpaid for Josh Allen, because I was like, I can watch him quarterback. I don't mind following his games.
See, that's hard to win though, if you can't just pick guys based on feelings. Like, I have to look at the numbers, and then after I have them, then I cheer for them. Because I'm like, come on, buddy. You're better than that. Don't drop that pass. But we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. Are you excited about, did you get Peacock for that one game? Is that the Steelers game?
Well, we had it previously, so I'll be all right.
I couldn't remember. They were like, oh, here's where the games are. And then they had like three logos for each game, and I'm like, this doesn't help me at all. You jerks. Put the score up. I'm like, put the whole thing up so that I know what I'm going to have to get into for the playoffs. But it looks like the Dolphins and Chiefs are on Peacock. Browns, Texans are on NBC. Steelers, Bills are at CBS. Packers, Cowboys, Fox. NBC is Rams, Lions. And then ESPN. Now, the tricky thing, ESPN, I've noticed, have been doing this. They've been putting their Monday Night Football back on ABC and ESPN Plus. So you can watch it for free. The only game you have to pay for now is NBC's Peacock app. So, very annoying. We get one step closer, Matt, to the promised land of every game being free with an antenna. And then some other network comes in and rips it away. If the Big Ten wasn't jerks, I'd be all in on buying Peacock. Help support my boys, but they did us dirty this year. And we still won the championship. So I can't support that. You have anything else for the NFL you want to talk about?
No.
You have anything for the final bell?
Started watching some first grade basketball. And got to say, riveting 2-0 performance.
I thought you were going to say that you just could have watched paint dry.
No way. My little man running the point like a champ. Love to see it, because God knows I did not have the basketball gene.
See, I watched my bro play basketball, and I remember even up through it took till at least maybe not even I don't even think ninth grade was exciting. But like, when it's like the score is like, hey, did you win? It is 9-8. Yeah, we won. Like 9-8. I'm out of shape, man. I can score more than 9 points in 3 minutes and hit 3-pointers. And then I go in and the rim's like, I think they have the rim too high and the ball's too big. And I know they're trying to teach kids to like, we got to teach you the fundamentals. But I honestly think if youth basketball just started to use, like, you know how we had that ball at Graham's, it was like the half-size ball and the smaller rim. I think if they started to do something like that for youth basketball, it would be better in the long term. Because it fits your hand better, you can actually learn how to dribble it, and your shooting form would be better. Because how many guys are like shooting it like their chest, like they're doing a medicine ball throw?
Well, I'll say that the two rules in the league right now that I really liked was that defensively, you have to have 1 foot in the paint. So like, it's not just mad chaos, just everyone swarming the ball. So like, there is a little bit of reining in the defense. And then at halftime, they do like a foul shot where if each kid has a chance to take a shot, and if they make it, it gets added into the point. So it's kind of cool that for kids that don't typically shoot during the game, like, they still have an opportunity to score points. I like that.
That's better than having it be 2-0. Because I went to some games last year, probably around the same age group, and like, I'd come in and it would be like 2-0. I'm like, oh, game just started. They're like, no, it's the third quarter. I'm like, oh, third quarter, 2-0. And parents are yelling. The entire gym's just yelling shoot the entire time. So I'm like, the kids have to be blocking that out, right? Because like, just shoot the ball. Come on, try to score instead of just dribbling around. But yeah, that's one of the one things that I always, probably because I was like, my little brother was really into basketball. And now I'm always like, just make it more exciting. Make it more exciting. No one wants to watch, because he's big. So he's like the only one that could score. So constantly everyone's just trying to pass him the ball and he's just shooting, which paid off when he got older. But it was like, all right, because you're the biggest kid out there. You have to do the scoring. Otherwise, your guys are going to lose, buddy. No one runs any offensive sets. You coaching? Are you coaching him?
Negative.
So you could be doing complex play calls, dude.
Nope, I'm a one trick pony.
I wouldn't want to coach that either. I'm like, nah, just go. But, all right, you have anything else you want to talk about?
That's it.
All right, cool. Yeah, sorry for the delay. Hurricane, I joked yesterday, Michigan was a championship map, the world starts to end.
God was smiting you for being a cheater.
Nah, the NCAA already cleared us, man. They said fair, and what did they say? Are they already take it off? Did they take it off the ESPN page already? I had it up. That would be something they would do. They put it up for a blip. They did take it off. What the heck? I can't believe it. I can't even read the quote anymore. I'm going to go to the NCAA page and see. Oh, here it is. Fair and square. Fair and square. No cheating at all. But when you go to bed tonight and you're counting sheep and one of them looks like Connor Stallions, Matt, just think. Best college football analyst of all time. He did what couldn't be done. Watch him land next year. Wonder where he's going to go. I was hoping that he would leak the manifesto right after the championship. He could have put it up on Amazon, sold it for like $5, dude, and he'd be a millionaire right now. He could just have his own NIL. But we'll leave you to think about that, Ohio State fans that are listening to this. So, thanks for the support. College football's over. We have the NFL stuff. We'll be hitting NFL for a while before we get into the offseason. I'm going to do the national championship stuff like I talked about in the offseason. If there's anything else you want us to do or any ideas, let me know. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.